Today on Real Radio.
And if people are demanding money from you, that's not God. Listen to this. If somebody is saying, well, you know what, just give us the account number and we'll automatically deduct it from your account, and that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, whatever you give, give from a willing heart.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I?, the series that answers those issues all believers have asked at one time or another. Well, Pastor Jack is dealing with a topic that is sometimes either never addressed at all or talked about too much, and often with unbiblical views. In other words, it's either too sensitive a topic for some, or it can be downright abused. But Scripture spends ample time on this serious issue, and so our teacher is not shying away from answering the question, why should I tithe? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Malachi chapter 3 says, God says, listen, I want you to be blessed. Listen, he says, I want you to be blessed, Malachi chapter 3. I want you to be content, but you've robbed me. And the people said, how have we robbed you, God? And he says, because you have not given me tithes and offerings. You've robbed me. And for this reason, he says, there's a curse upon you. And it's interesting. It's not a curse that God sends. It's a curse that's just native to life. When we don't put God first, we walk around like in some sort of a curse, you know? Ends never meet. We try everything we can. And he says in Haggai chapter 1, he says, you labor really hard and you have nothing to show for it. He says, you put money in a bag and your bag has holes. He says, you drink and you drink and you drink, but you're still thirsty. He says, all because you've not put me first. You've left my house alone, but you've paneled your home with cedar. It's not a sin to have a nice house, people. We live predominantly in a very affluent area, very blessed area. That's not a sin. It's not a sin for you to have the cars that you have, or in some cases, some people are the airplanes that they have and their businesses and what they do. That's not a sin, as long as you know God owns them, okay? See, man, all I got is a lawnmower. Hey, Christian, that's God's lawnmower. Well, I happen to have, you know, a Ferrari. Well, that's God's Ferrari. It's between you and God. But you know what? I want to worship him in my tithe because he's so, so very good. We are so blessed. Number two, very quickly. Number two, why should I tithe? Because all things belong to God. They really do. Jot this down quickly. He's in need of nothing. You say, well, now you're getting to that thing I wanted to ask you about. If he has need of nothing, then why is he asking of me something? Because it just drives you nuts, doesn't it? He has need of nothing. Yeah, I know. So why do I have to give him $5? He doesn't need your $5, but he's doing his heart surgery on you. No. Psalm 50, verse 12, in case we forgot. Psalm 50, verse 12, God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. Isn't that great? For the world is mine and everything in it. You think God gets hungry, he can just go to Black Angus himself. He can go get a Black Angus. If he wants mountain lion, he can have that. If he wants to have, you know, a giraffe, he can have a giraffe. He's not going to ask you for it. Can I have my giraffe? I'm hungry. He does whatever he wants to do. He sits in heaven above. He has need of nothing. He allows us to participate in what he's doing. And isn't it funny? Watch this, class. You'll get this. It's fun. In our culture, see, we live in the West. But if we lived in the Sudan, we wouldn't be talking about dollars. You know what we'd be talking about? I'll give you, listen, I went through my harvest and I got like four ears of corn. I love the Lord, and I'm going to give him one grain. In fact, I'm going to give him the prettiest and the most healthy looking ear of corn. If you walked up and said, "Hey, buddy, here's 10 bucks," the guy would say, "Make an airplane out of it, will you? I can't do anything with that. I need something to eat. I need some bread." See, our economy is money. If the valuable thing was oranges, you'd be struggling with God and oranges. Come on, God, what do you want all my oranges for? You think God needs money? You guys, it's not money. It's what we love. You mentioned money. Money? What about money? How much? I invest what? And get how much? Oh, yeah. And we start thinking about it. Isn't it funny? Nobody came on the air this week and said, "You'll get 300,000 bananas if you just send in the..." Bananas? I don't care about bananas. I'm not even listening. But he mentioned money. We get all into it. Why? Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, "Listen up. You can either serve God or..." What is it? Money. He didn't say bananas. It's money. The issue is money. That's what it's all about to the world. God says, "Hey, Christian, do you trust me?" "Yes." "Do you expect me to take you into heaven?" "Yes." "Do you think I died on the cross for your sins?" "Absolutely." "I'm the Lord of your life?" "Absolutely." "Then give me your checkbook." "What?" "God, now you're asking me to trust you with that." "Oh, okay. I see what you can do to yourself with it. Give it to him. Watch what happens. Pray about it. He's in need of nothing. Not only that, he's the creator of everything. The book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 says, "Do you not know? And have you not heard?" He sounds so Jewish to me right there. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." That's God. He's great. Third, under this point, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help. Church, listen up. Wake your neighbor up. He needs to hear this. God does not need our help. "Well, Pastor, how are you going to complete that building over there if I don't give my money?" "Well, just fine, thank you." Second thing is, Pastor Chuck taught us years ago, I'm so glad for this. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's not a pastor, including myself on staff, that knows who gives what. I refuse for myself or those pastors to know. It's handled in accounting. Nobody, you know what? Nobody who is in my thinking in the priesthood, so to speak, ministering to one another, I will not have myself nor any of the associate pastors at this church knowing what some man or woman gives financially to this church. You want to know why? If they're sleeping with their girlfriend or boyfriend, we're going to tell them what the Bible says. I had a man tell me not too long ago when he was doing that very thing. I said, "You can't do that. The Bible says you're going to hurt yourself. You can't do it. You can't do this." And he says, he's an older man. He says, "Do you understand who you're talking to?" I said, "I know exactly who I'm talking to. A guy who's sleeping with his girlfriend. It's called fornication. God says you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do it." And he says, "Do you have any idea how much money I give to this church?" And you would have thought he got hit by a ton of bricks. I said, "Not only do I not know, I don't even know your last name. I don't know how much you give." And you, instantly you could tell where his, all the glory, it was him. His life was his. Don't tell me that. I don't know, and the pastors don't know how much anyone gives. because we've got to do our spiritual job, and we will not let monetary things interrupt what we have to do. That's an important thing to keep in mind. Don't know. You don't have to know everything. But know this, God does not need our help. God's not broke. Okay, now this is where, ushers, get ready. This is where the doors go. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, God says, all the silver belongs to me. All of the gold belongs to me, says the Lord. Well, who says? The Lord. So, I think if a church is committed to the Bible and loving each other and ministering to the needs in the community, doing what we're called to do, I think God's going to pay all the bills. He'll take care of it all. If a church is broke, hello, listen, if a church is broke, then man put them there. Stop blaming God. If you came from a church and it went financially belly up, stop blaming God. Man put them there. And if people are demanding money from you, that's not God. Listen to this. If somebody is saying, well, you know what, just give us the account number and we'll automatically deduct it from your account, and that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, whatever you give, give from a willing heart. Big thing came to me in the mail. Pastor Jack, you need to do this. It's very cool. Now, I know that we're moving toward a cashless society. Everybody knows that. It's a computerized world. And until Al-Qaeda does their next trick, you watch that one. It won't be bombs next time. It's going to be a computer. Yeah, it's going cashless society, plus the Bible says we're going to go to a cashless society. But oh, the new thing is to have the thing where you run your credit card through and for tithes and offerings at the church. Well, I know that we're going toward a cashless system, and maybe someday it'll be that way. But you know what? Excuse me. Those credit cards are already probably so racked up as it is. Now, are we going to build the church on credit? God is not broke. Well, Christian TV says. Yeah, I know. I know it. I wrote this one down from a certain Christian television worldwide satellite network. It goes by the acronyms TBN. Someone very famous says, God wants you to live by faith, so send in that seed money. Seed money. And remember, the bigger the seed, the bigger the crop for you, and God will bless you. I figured out that at least the tie he was wearing had to be a $150 tie. His suit, at least an Armani. I happened to find out a little bit more about this guy's life. His salary is a little over $6 million a year. Oh, that's nothing. Just wait. He has not one, but he has several. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, then you'll know what I'm talking about. He has several Gulfstream jets at his disposal. His doctor said, you have an upper respiratory infection. You need to get a house in Boca Raton, Florida, because the salty air is good for your chest. $6 million home. The church had to buy that. Not him. He travels first class beyond all over the world. I had a chance to bump into him in Israel one time. He don't stay in places like we stay. Him and his type are ministers of the Lord. They deserve a double portion. Paul taught them that, they say. You know, I think they're wolves. They're fleecing the flock of God and they're thieves. Now, I could mention their names, but if I do with what I just said, they'll just sue you and me. I won't do that. I won't give them that authority. But you can turn on TBN and watch them. I recommend you not. But if they're such men of faith and they want you to exercise faith and send in money, then why don't they exercise faith? If they say, you know, exercise faith and give all that you have and watch God bless you. You know what? Why don't you start by taking off your suit and selling that tie? How about cashing in your Lear jets and your Gulfstreams and giving up the yacht and move out of Boca Raton and let's see faith. Don't talk to me about faith. You're a minister. You have a global ministry and you got your own little clan and all you guys play games together. You know what? You want to talk about faith? You're fleecing the flock of God. You're ripping people off. No wonder why people don't want to talk about tithing. And then people who are not educated in the Bible get all upset and they blame God and they blame churches. And Jesus says, calm down. I told you that in the last days, these people would come not sparing the flock. And then the Holy Spirit tells the Apostle Paul to write it down in Timothy that there will be people coming in the last days just before the return of Christ who think that preaching the gospel is a way to get rich. You thought that was in a movie? It's in the Bible. Boils my blood. You may give God a dollar or you may give God $100,000. What are you going to get in return? I don't know. But he will never be indebted to you, my friend. You may have awesome health. You may never be rich. You may never be even middle class. You know what? He might bless you with incredible health. He might bless you with peace. That is just amazing. He may bless you with a marriage. I don't know what, but you will not go without. I can't afford not to give to God. I could never jeopardize my home that way. Even if it's $1. And why is it such a big deal? Number three, and we're done. Because I desire, you and I do, we desire to give glory to God. Number one, keep this in mind. We don't own anything. It's not ourselves. It's not ours. We don't own it. Number two, we want to honor him with what we have. Some of you need to hear this. God has blessed you so much. You've got tremendous wealth. You know what? Praise the Lord for that, okay? Stop apologizing for it. I went to somebody's house not too long ago, and they have this place, and there's no other house around it. It's incredible. It's just amazing. And you acted like, you know, it was some kind of a sin. And you love the Lord, and you support God's work all over the world. Some of you need to convert that guilt feeling you're feeling and tell people, look what God gave us. Look what God gave us. It's not your fault that your wealthy mom and dad were killed and you've got mega millions of dollars. What are you supposed to do? Send it, you know, to some wasteful thing? Use it to the glory of God, but don't apologize. So you know what? You see what we have? God gave this to us. Use it as a witnessing tool. You might say, well, that's not us, Jack. We're poor, and we go to this church. You know what? In every work of the Holy Spirit, wherever God's people are working, there'll be people of every strata of the level of the economy. You want to know why? Because God uses people who don't have to test the hearts of those who do. Didn't it say in Acts 2, 41 to 47, that they had all things in common? No one in this church will starve. We'll sell that building. We'll burn the wood of this pulpit for firewood, but nobody in this church will starve. How do we end this? Well, I find out that giving really truly reveals where my heart is really at when I talk about God. It's where the rubber meets the road. God says in the book of 2 Corinthians 9, let each man so give as he's determined in his own heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that great? all right, when's the offering coming? Like that little old lady from Pasadena. When? I don't know, but when's it coming? When's it coming? All right, praise the Lord. All right, Jesus, that's yours, Lord, that's yours. Rather than, oh man, here we go. Oh, keep it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, demonstrating how one of the truest forms of worship and a gauge for knowing if your worship is genuine is how you give. Why should I tithe? That's the title of this study, taken from the Why Should I series of studies. It's a practical look at how we ought to give and with what kind of heart. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this series of studies called Why Should I? Now, last week we began to tell you about something that will be taking place here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, which is still quite a ways off, but of course, this particular event is quite a significant one, which is precisely why we've begun to tell you about it so far in advance. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, that's right. We're going to be hosting an event entitled the Southern California Prophecy Conference, and that's going to be January 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's going to be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday event, Mike, and it's going to be hosted here at the church. But the great thing about it is that we've got an all-star lineup of speakers that are going to be addressing the issues that concern every Christian today. And that is the threat of Islam to our faith, to our culture, to democracy. And we've invested quite heavily in understanding what the Quran has to say and what Islam teaches, contrary to what you might hear on CNN or other programs. In fact, we have some people coming from such programs as CNN and the BBC and Fox News. We'll be having Brigitte Gabriel, who many of our listeners have seen on Fox News. Waleed Shubat, who is now probably the most famous former terrorist in the world today, speaks all over the world. And so Waleed Shubat will be with us speaking on the threat of Islam and his own personal life and how he came to Christ. We're going to be having Ergun Kaner, which Ergun's a dear friend out of Liberty University, who was born and raised a Sunni Muslim and came to know Jesus Christ. And now God is using Ergun in a tremendous way to proclaim the gospel. Other speakers such as Ed Heinzen, also from Liberty University, but we've got David Reagan coming to speak from Texas. Don Perkins is going to be coming up from San Diego, delivering a great message on hope in times like these. And then I'm very, very excited. We're going to be bringing over from London, England, Jay Smith. Jay Smith has a gift and a heart to reach the Muslim for Jesus like nobody I know. And so Jay's going to be with us. This is going to be a great weekend to every one of us who are Christians to understand Islam and how we can reach the Muslim with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, this is a 3-day event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Now, that's a long way out in advance, but here's the reason why. Seating is limited to 3,000. With these speakers, tickets are going to go very, very fast. And so for more information about how you can get your tickets, you can go to SoCalProphecyConference.com.
Okay, so that's SoCalProphecyConference.com, where you can not only learn more about the event, but also for ticketing. SoCalProphecyConference.com. If you'd like to call us for any reason, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in a contribution, all of which is tax-deductible, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.